It's fantasy football time on Patriots.com with the fantasy football champs.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Dominate your league with the guys from FFChamps.com.
Brees throwing back in the end zone, leaping grab, touchdown!
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright are the fantasy football champs.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fantasy Football Champs on Patriots.com Radio. I'm Bill Enright alongside Todd DeVries. And Todd, how good does it feel back to be talking about football again, fantasy football season, and we're doing it all right here on Patriots.com?
No, baseball doesn't do it for you?
Oh my God, I quiver when you say that word, baseball.
There's some great news and notes in the world of baseball. I heard A-Rod is, you know, making headlines again. It's all good.
I could care less about baseball.
Bill, you know, it was really good to tune in on Sunday night to watch the Hall of Fame game. I was pretty excited just to see football, real football, kind of real football, on my television screen. Now, of course, you know, when I realized, when I zeroed in and saw it was some guy named Nick Stevens under center for the Cowboys, I wasn't quite as excited, but you know, we can take little things out of each of these preseason games, and it's all going to kick into high gear starting Thursday.
Well, listen, this is the second season of hosting the Fantasy Football Champs here on Patriots.com. We're so happy to be back. We love communicating and interacting with all the Patriots fans that listen to the show. The number here to reach us, if you have a draft question, if you're getting ready for your draft, you know what pick you have, you don't know which direction you should go in, give us a call. Pick up the phones, people. 508-298-0398 is the number to reach us. You can also hit us up on email, webradio@patriots.com. And we are Twitter maniacs. We're constantly tweeting out advice, helping people out. Hit us up on Twitter at FFChamps.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to get a hold of us. And this is the time of year, Bill. I mean, over at FFChamps.com, the emails, the tweets are flowing in at a record pace. The one thing we advise against, though, Bill, because there's a lot of people talking about their draft is coming up in a couple of days. It's August 6th, man.
Oh, too early.
Too early for your draft. Please, people out there, if you're sending emails around trying to figure out everyone's availability, move it back. At least past week three of the preseason. Don't have your draft now.
Too early. And here's why we advise doing that. Right now, today is August 6th. Already today, we've had Jordy Nelson of the Green Bay Packers, a top 15 wide receiver, potentially out for the entire preseason. We're not going to see him in any games. We're not going to see him in any training camp. Maybe he's healthy by week one. If you drafted this week, Lamar Miller of the Miami Dolphins, I was just going to get to him. Apparent ankle injury. We're not sure the severity just yet, but we're going to keep an eye on it. But those are the things that you want to let all these injuries settle in. You want to get through that third week of preseason, that third week of preseason games, which ends on August 26th. That's the key window to have your fantasy drafts. Anytime after that third preseason game, over Labor Day weekend, all the way up until that first week where the Broncos and the Ravens are going to kick off on Thursday Night Football to start the year.
Totally.
You want to wait until after that third preseason game. We can't stress that enough.
Totally agree. My big ones are on Labor Day weekend or even after that, quite frankly. We have one of my leagues, Bill, where it's every single year, it's the Wednesday night before the Thursday night opener. That's why we do it every year. Everyone knows that. Everyone clears out their schedules and makes sure it's okay with the wife. However, one of my leagues, the Knuckleheads in my neighborhood run, we have a draft on Sunday.
Oh, I feel bad.
It's like, come on. Too early.
Another reason why it's too early is we're on Patriots.com for 5 episodes. We'll be here live every Tuesday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also catch the show on demand on iTunes and the Patriots.com app for your smartphone. So, you know, we have 5 weeks of giving you great draft strategy. We want to get you as prepared as possible right here on the Fantasy Football Champs and, of course, over at FFChamps.com.
Absolutely, Bill. So what's the theme of today's show going to be, Bill? What direction are we going to take the audience in right here out of the gate?
Todd, it is all about the running backs year in and year out. It's not about quarterbacks. It's not about tight ends. It's not about kickers or defenses or wide receivers. Today's theme is running backs. It's still the most important position when it comes to fantasy football. That's where you make the bacon. That's where you celebrate as a fantasy football champion, the guy with the best running backs. That's who wins your league.
Yeah, well, they're the most consistent producers week in and week out. And as we'll be getting into it a little later in the show, you know, you can't ignore the running backs early. Don't, you know, we're going to get into all this, Bill, but there's some other sexy names that are going to be sitting there on your draft board when you're on the clock early in the draft. Stick with the running backs, maybe an elite wide receiver, but you got to lock down those running backs early. And I like this crop of running backs this year, Bill. I think we have a strong, I'm going to call them the Magnificent Nine. That doesn't have a good ring to it. We got to come up with a name for it. There's the nine guys I love.
The fine nine.
There you go. We'll break those down in great detail later. But I think it's a strong group of top-tier running backs this year, much stronger than last year. It's going to make the first rounds of your drafts go a lot easier, a lot faster than in the past, because I really think if you get one of these nine guys, you're going to be pretty happy heading into round two.
I absolutely agree, Todd. And again, running back, that's one of the first pieces of advice that we're going to give you, just a little bit of strategy to start off our fantasy football draft special here on Patriots.com Radio. The second piece of advice is take that fantasy football magazine and throw it out the window. Get rid of it. Burn it. Recycle it if you care about the environment. I don't care what you need to do, but if you bought one, you not only did you just waste $9, but now you're gonna throw it out the window. You're gonna throw it in the garbage and never look at it again. Because am I right?
Here's the deal. Here's where I can justify getting one of these. First of all, now's not the time. If you wanted to get one of these, it had to be back in June, right? Mm-hmm. And it had to be something that you were just grabbing on your way to the beach for the weekend.
Right.
Read it at the beach, toss it in the trash. All right. Because unlike FFGMs.com, everything that's printed is locked in for the entire summer. Yep. Percy Harvin, hey, he's a top pick.
Bill, according to the magazines.
Yeah. Jeremy Maclin, he's in a contract year, Bill. Maclin's going to have a breakout season, according to the magazines. Of course, we know that's not the case. So, yeah, magazines, Bill, if any chump at your draft brings a magazine to the draft and he's using it for anything more than just the bye weeks, then, you know, you're dealing with an absolute target who's going to just be the sucker on draft day.
How about this one? I bet in every fantasy football magazine out there, Aaron Hernandez is a top five tight end.
Oof.
Every single one.
And they go to print. Bill, they go to print in May, right? These magazines go to print in May or early June. And they're on the news shelves in June. So, yeah, they're outdated. You know, a generation of fantasy players from pre-internet can still have a little bit of an appreciation for a magazine. But, again, only for like a weekend. Because then the news starts rolling in and it's completely outdated. So, I'm with you, man. It's Don't be one of the guys that comes up to your draft showing up with a magazine in your hand, please.
And, you know, that's one of the great things about being a member at FFChamps.com, because it gets you ready for your fantasy football draft season or your fantasy football draft. It gets you ready for the regular season. We're with you week in and week out. We're your co-managers. We want to see our members win. But the most important thing that we do that separates ourselves from the rest of the industry on the internet, or especially fantasy football magazines, we stay updated, Todd. We're constantly updating our rankings. We're posting news about the latest injuries in training camp. We're evaluating what we've seen in training camp and preseason games. You know, it's not something that we just release and we don't touch it again until week one. I can't tell you how many times a day that I'm constantly tweaking my rankings. Today, I'm going to relate to this Jordy Nelson example a lot. Jordy Nelson from the Green Bay Packers is going to miss the rest of training camp, miss the entire preseason. He's going to go get knee surgery. I had Jordy Nelson as a top 15 wide receiver. Right now, I'm going to bump him down outside the top 20 because I don't know if he's going to be 100% healthy to start the season. So when you look at a case like that, you really need to stay updated. You need to be well-informed. And again, it goes back. Postpone your draft days, folks. Make sure it's after that third preseason game. And you know what? Head over to FFChamps.com. We'll get you ready. There's a lot to prepare you for, but we do it in a great way, a comprehensive way, and a very concise way, so that all our members are the most prepared. If you fail to prepare, then you prepare to fail. That's my man, Benjamin Franklin, with that great, great quote from like 200, 300 years ago.
Ben Franklin.
If you prepare, I'll say it again. If you prepare to fail, you should, no. How do I say it? If you prepare to fail, you should be, if you fail to prepare, you should be prepared to fail. That's what he said.
Is that what he said?
If you fail to prepare, you should be prepared.
You'll get it right
fail.
One of these times. Just keep trying.
You know
man.
I don't speak Spanish. Yeah. In English, please.
Oh, who was that chiming in?
That was Ron Burgundy.
No, that was our esteemed producer, Mr. Kevin Collins, who Kevin you've Collins. Yet to address. Back for another year.
I noticed how Josh got introduced in the first 30 seconds, but you guys waited for me. Thanks.
I actually forgot about you, Kevin. You have to make yourself more well-known.
Well, that's why he had to throw that drop in there. But Kevin, you know, Kevin's used to you, you know, kind of fumbling over quotes and stuff like that, and he's ready with the drop button to, you know, to drop a little Ron Burgundy or whatever.
That one even made my boss laugh, so I appreciate that.
Actually, here's the exact quote from Benjamin Franklin. By failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. That makes much more sense than what I said originally. Well, my point of the matter is, you have to get ready for your fantasy drafts. It's not something that you pick up a magazine, you look at the cheat sheet, and then you go from there on draft day. You're going to lose, folks. We want you guys to win, and winning is made easy at ffchamps.com.
History lessons by Bill Enright.
Yeah, there you go. See, it's not just fantasy football here. You're going to learn something, too.
Yeah.
Next week, I'm going to have a quote from someone else, like Thomas
Jefferson. You know what? You know who you should quote is Bill Belichick, because all of his quotes are like one word.
Yes. No.
It's a lot easier.
It is what it is.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, my friend. So where are we going here, buddy? You know, you've kind of set the stage for the show. We're here for 2 hours. We're going to start off with the running backs today. We have 5 weeks to get everyone prepared. We'll go through all the 10 commandments of winning at fantasy football from ffchamps.com.
That's right.
We're going to talk some running backs. What else have we got today?
I'll tell you what. We're going to go over the 10 commandments for winning fantasy football. Todd, you said it before. That's going to come up a little bit later in the show. But we're going to be joined by a special guest, Fred Kirsch. You all know him from patriots.com radio in just a little bit. It's been a very, very tumultuous, bumpy road for the New England Patriots this offseason. Something that we're really not used to seeing. We're not going to spend too much time on it, but since it's our first show, we have a new audience listening to us, we just kind of want to recap all the big headlines, and there were a lot of them from the Patriots this offseason.
Any quotes from Ben Franklin?
I'm sure Fred has plenty of historical quotes. You know, up there in New England, they got, you know, you guys had a lot of playmakers back in the day, the Revolutionary War. I know our friend Carrie Byrne, I believe two presidents were born in his town of Quincy, Massachusetts. Carrie, when I went up to visit him, he made sure that he drove me past the monument and said, hey, the Quincy Adams brothers, the son and father and son, they were born here and they stayed here. I was like, oh, thanks for the historical lesson, Carrie.
Oh, God. Bill and history do not mix.
Got our boy Paul Revere was up in this neck of the woods.
Yeah, Paul Revere said the
giant statue in the city.
Yeah.
One if by land, two if by sea.
That's right. That's right.
Well, whenever you take Bill down the history path, Kevin, it's just you're going in a black hole, baby. You never know what's going to come out.
There's two things that I'm not very good at, and I'll be the first one to admit it. One is math. Two is history. So
no, there's a third one.
What's the third one?
Geography.
Oh, geography, I'm awful. Yep, throw that in the top three. There you go. I'm the triple threat when
you're,
it comes.
You were batting like 100 whenever somebody calls the show and wherever they're from. You have no idea where they're from.
You know, in my defense, we've had some very, very peculiar callers in various exotic locations during our 2012 season.
Yeah,
we had people calling in from Switzerland
like
and
this
Norway.
Guy.
And
why don't you go back home to your street malls and drink your Zimas and Smirnoff ices? Hoo-yah! Hoo-yah!
Exactly. We had that crazy German calling in. You know, who knew that some of these countries had the internet?
You think your buddy Olivier will call in today?
I'm sure he'll be around.
He actually came into the show last week.
As in into the studio?
As into PFW in progress and sat in and watched the show.
Wow.
He was up in Boston for business, and he came in, bought us lunch, and went to practice.
Interesting. The international man of mystery.
Yeah,
right?
We can't really figure out like where he's from, because he's like a French-speaking Belgian who lives in Virginia. So it's pretty tough.
Well, Bill doesn't know where any of those locations are.
No.
I mean, Belgium, what, South America, Bill? Is that where you think that Belgium is?
Yeah, I think that's correct.
West Virginia?
Mathematics, geography, history, not my strong points.
Fantasy football.
Fantasy football domination, you know, that's my bread and butter. That's right in my wheelhouse.
Let's stick to that then, Bill, please.
That's a good idea. That is a very good idea. 508-298-0398 is the number to reach us. I promise we won't be discussing geography much longer. We're going to take a quick break. Your phone calls, and Fred Kirsch is going to be our special guest in the next segment. You're listening to the Fantasy Football Champs on Patriots.com Radio.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright are the Fantasy Football Champs.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright want to help you dominate your fantasy football league. Call in at 508-298-0398.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Football Champs on Patriots.com Radio. FFChamps.com has all your needs for your fantasy football draft preparation. We're going to take a quick minute to talk about the New England Patriots, kind of put fantasy football to the side for a second here, Todd, as we want to bring in Fred Kirsch, the Vice President of Content for the New England Patriots. You also know him from the Patriots Radio Network right here, PFW in Progress. Fred, thanks so much for joining us today, and thanks for having us back on Patriots.com Radio.
Well, you're more than welcome, and welcome back. It's great to have you guys back on Patriots.com Radio. You guys provide a great service to our fans. I know they really appreciated it last season, and we're just thrilled to have you guys back.
So, Fred, we're very thankful to be back on the air, of course. Our last show was around the Super Bowl last year. So anything happened since the Super Bowl up in New England that we should know about?
Well, you know, a few things, and, you know, it just made me – I was listening to your first segment, and, you know, because so much stuff happens in the offseason and it's still – why would anyone – have a fantasy draft until like the week before the season?
I mean, it's crazy
to have a draft I would wait till the night before kickoff.
That's
you know,
what
if
we
I
do.
Could. Yeah.
The league that's I've been running for 25 anybody. Years, we do it the Wednesday before I mean, the first game.
There's so much. I mean, obviously, the Aaron Hernandez stuff and Wes Welker leaving the Patriots are huge. But, you know, it's been so long ago, we forget. The Patriots made a play in free agency for Emmanuel Sanders from the Steelers, and we forget about that. They gave him an offer sheet, and I think the Patriots were figuring that the Steelers weren't going to match that. And it turns out the Steelers did match that, and I think that put the Patriots behind the eight ball a little bit at the wide receiver position. And, you know, now, you know, we see what they've been trying to do to redo that position, as Bill Belichick has said. But, you know, it wasn't just Wes Welker leaving. You know, they made a play for Emmanuel Sanders. They didn't get him.
They didn't get Sanders. I thought the Patriots were going to get him. They offered, I think, a first-round pick. The Steelers matched the offer. But, Fred, they did sign Danny Amendola. And for years, Todd and I have kind of been going back and forth about the similarities between Wes Welker and Danny Amendola, other than they're both small white receivers in the NFL. Yep. They're both possession guys. They're both very good, precise route runners. What have you seen from Amendola at training camp? Do you think he can almost replace, fill that void left behind by Wes Welker?
He can. I mean, the you know, right down to where they went to college, the similarities are inescapable.
Right.
The big difference, though, is durability. I mean, you can't sure. deny the fact that other than getting hurt in the last game of the season with Welker, you know, and then coming right back and not missing, you know, the next season, Amendola has, you know, missed a lot of games. You know, there's no denying that. Does that make him injury prone? You know, no. These were real injuries. It's not like, right. you know, he held himself out or what. But you can't deny the fact that he has missed a lot of games, relatively speaking, in his career, and that is the big difference between him and Welker. Other than that, you're right. There's so many similarities, and I think the people here in personnel feel that Amendola is a little bigger, which is a fact. He's yep. got just as good a hands, if not better, and he is faster. Is okay. he quicker? Maybe not at this point, but I think he covers more ground with less steps than Wes Welker.
So, Fred, what do you think? I mean, again, you gotta have a fantasy audience here. Who's the bigger loss to this offense when it comes to the receptions and the production? Is it Aaron Hernandez or is it Wes Welker?
Well, I've been reading Andrew Miller, who's your boss's column, and I think it depends on the scoring of your league a little bit.
That's right.
You know, I think that if you're looking at pure touchdowns, I think Hernandez is the bigger loss because I think he's more of a threat in the red zone.
Sure.
But you know, if you're looking at just receptions, then you know obviously Welker is the bigger loss by far. You know, like on our show PFW in Progress, Andy Hart feels that Hernandez had a down year last year, and you know he was really down on him. I didn't think he was as bad as Andy thought, but he didn't rise to the level that we thought he was going to. Last year, we thought last year would be a huge breakout, but you know he was nagged with injuries from time to time, and you know had some key drops, you know. So it's really, I think it depends on your league. You know, from a pure scoring standpoint, though, I think Hernandez was probably the bigger loss.
Mm. And speaking of Hernandez, I mean the Patriots, they go from having more depth at the tight end position than anyone in the league to zero, zero depth at the tight end position, at least for now. Right. What is the latest on Gronk? You know, when do you expect him to be back onto the field?
Nobody really knows. You know, he hasn't done any running or anything at practice. He shows up in shorts and watches. Unlike, say, a guy like Edelman, up until when he came back, you could see him in the far field running, you know, with the trainer on his own or on a bicycle. You know, you don't see any of that for Gronk. So, you know, just from that, you know, I'm saying that he's probably not going to be there for the first game, which a lot of people have speculated he might. I don't think so. So I'm thinking he's going to probably be out for that full PUP window of at least six games and maybe not back until, you know, the eighth or ninth game of the season.
Yeah, I mean, are the injuries that he has, I mean, at the moment, are they something that could be easily, you know, are they kind of nagging, or is there something that, you know, he just needs to fully heal from and then he'll be good to go?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I think the elbow's healed.
Right.
You know, that came down to, you know, making sure that the infection was gone. It's gone. But then he had the surgery on the back. Now, people hear back surgery and they should be concerned. Anything to do with the back is concerning. However, this back surgery was in no way, according to reports, related to the surgery he had in college that forced him to miss a season. Right. This is a fairly routine surgery, according to reports. It just takes time. And, you know, I would say, you know, by the beginning of the season, he'll be starting to get back into football shape, but he's not going to be anywhere near ready to get on the field. And it's just one of those time things that he should completely heal from, but, you know, you can't rush.
So, Fred, if take us into the mindset of the Patriots fan right now with regards to Gronk. You know, does the Patriot fan kind of want to see them, you know, take their time with Gronk and bring him back for the second half of the season? I mean, are they willing to be patient like that and try to figure things out, kind of get through the first half of the season, you know, unscathed, and then have Gronk back for the stretch run? Or is that kind of the mindset of the Patriots fan right now?
I think so. It is. And, you know, we hear from a lot of fans on our show at noon, and they are feeling that way. Some of them for the wrong reasons. Some actually are saying things like the Patriots will actually be better off if they don't, you know, if they hold him out until the second half. I don't see how that's possible, but their thinking is that, okay, well, then at least he'll be ready for, you know, he'll be healthy for the playoffs, unlike past years. Well, just because he comes back in week 8 instead of week 1, it's no guarantee that he's going to be healthy in the playoffs. So it's kind of a weird kind of logic, but I think they are resigned for whatever reason to the fact that he's not going to be ready, you know, for the beginning of the season. And they believe that, you know, they'll be able to get by that. Now, if you, again, going back to the fantasy commandments about, you know, waiting and not rushing, you know, if you talk to fans, let's say 2 months ago, they would feel that, you know, some of that production would have been made up by Jake Ballard.
Right.
But now by waiting, we know it's not probably going to be the case. He's still limping around. He's not 100%. And if anything, you know, Mike Umanawa and Daniel Fells will probably be your two starting tight ends, as opposed to Ballard and, you know, a lot of people are talking about Zach Sudfeld.
Right.
But I think, you know, if you're looking at fantasy and you had to choose a tight end for the Patriots, that, you know, I would go with Fells as a scorer, and maybe from a, you know, pure production number of catches thing, I might go with Hooman.
Fred Kirsch from PFW in Progress, hanging out with us here on the Fantasy Football Champ Show. Fred, we're talking a little bit about the Gronkowski injury. Wes Welker being gone, Danny Woodhead, Brandon Lloyd, Aaron Hernandez. You know, it's been widely publicized that Tom Brady is without a lot of his targets, a lot of his weapons from 2012 and 2011. Is it overblown? At the end of the day, it's still Tom freaking Brady, right? People have to relax a little bit.
Well, that's the thing. He's had guys that weren't that good. You go back to 06 when, you know, Rashay
Caldwell. Before Randy Moss.
Yeah,
right.
You know, before Randy Moss. Nobody on the Patriots was, you know, a highlight reel receiver. The problem this year is it's not so much, you know, they haven't had a lot of production. It's that Brady has never worked with any of these guys.
Right.
You know, up to this point, you know, he's never thrown a pass to Danny Amendola in a game. You know, obviously the rookies. You know, Fells was rarely used last year. You know, so there's just not a lot of time that he spent with these guys, and they're trying to make up for that, you know, in spring, in mini camps, and now in training camp. But no one knows. It's a complete mystery. You know, we know Amendola can do it, but the question with him is, will he be able to stay healthy? Because if he goes down, there's not a lot of experience depth on this team. You know, I think Michael Jenkins, on the team right now, Edelman has the most catches caught from Tom Brady. You know, and that's not saying a lot.
Fred, how about the rookies? Mr. Dobson from Marshall, wide receiver. Kenbrell Tompkins. Is there anybody that you expect to make an impact this year from a rookie class?
I do. You know, all along since the day he was drafted, I thought that Dobson, if any of the rookies were going to make, or first-year players were going to make an impact, I thought it was Dobson. And I'm sticking with that. He had one little hiccup in practice. He got tweaked in an in-stadium practice, but came back 2 days later. And he's looked good. He's got the size. He's not a burner, but he's got enough speed, and he definitely has the size. and the hands to make those types of catches that we haven't seen here, you know, really since Randy Moss in 07, 08. Hmm. He can go up against, you know, the bigger cornerbacks and fight for the ball and bring it down. And, you know, he's also got great hands. We've seen the reels from Marshall. He had one of the most amazing catches you've seen in college in a decade. You know, that's kind of his big highlight. But he can make those types of acrobatic plays, you know, against the bigger cornerbacks that Patriots receivers haven't been able to do outside the hash marks. And I think he's going to be able, you know, is he going to catch 100 balls? No. But he's going to make an impact right away for this team. Boyce is another guy that, you know, I've compared him a little bit to Dante Stallworth. He's got some great straight line speed. Whether or not, you know, it can translate into the game, we won't know, but he definitely has some speed that the Patriots can use to open things up for Dobson on the outside. You know, so those are the two guys, and, you know, the order of the draft would say that's what the Patriots thought as well. But Tompkins is a guy that, you know, is intriguing. Brady mentioned him today when he was talking about some of the young guys. He didn't mention everybody, but he mentioned Tompkins, said he calls him KT. And, you know, when Dobson was down that one day, Tompkins stepped up, took those extra reps, and really made them pay off. Made a nice grab in the end zone over McCourty and Tlaib, and kind of spiked the ball in their face. You know, he knew what he had just done. So he's got that swagger that you're looking for in a wide receiver as well. So, yeah, he's a guy that besides Boyce and Dobson, you could see some production from this year.
Fred Kirsch, the Vice President of Content for the New England Patriots. He's also the host of PFW in Progress. You can hear it right here on Patriots.com radio every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, starting at noon Eastern time. Fred, thanks so much for stopping by and getting us caught up about everything that's been going on at the Patriots training camp.
Well, no problem. Again, thanks for coming back on Patriots.com radio. I know our fans love listening to you guys. You're a big service to all the fantasy players out there. So keep up the great work.
Fred, are we going to get you playing fantasy this year? We want to help you win as well.
No, but my wife does. She's part of a family. All, you know, her uncles, aunts, and cousins play in. So I give her tips that I learned from you guys.
There's no way we can kind of combine PFW in Progress, Fantasy Football Champs. Maybe we'll throw Kerry Byrne in the action.
No, but here's
Kevin Collins can be in on it. We'll start our own league.
Here's the problem. I'm really like, you know, one of those competitive guys, and if I'm going to do something, I'm all in. And
great.
I just can't put the time that I know I would have to put in to fantasy in order to do it. I would get frustrated, and, you know, it'd be half-assed, and I can't do that. I would need to do it the right way. I'd be with you guys scouring the waiver wires, and, you know, I can't do it. I got enough to think about.
All right. I don't approve of your decision, but I respect your decision.
Well, you can do it through my wife. Give me, you know, we'll have her do it, and I'll let you know how she's doing.
That sounds good.
All right.
Sounds good. Fred Kirsch, thanks so much for joining us.
Okay, guys.
Don't forget, check out PFW in Progress every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday right here on Patriots.com radio.
Bill, you tried. You tried the sales pitch with Fred. Didn't work.
I wanted to, you know, get a new listen, 30 million Americans play fantasy football every year. Fred Kirsch, not one of them. He hosts a show for the Patriots. I don't know anyone more involved in football than a guy like Fred. It boggles my mind. He doesn't want to do fantasy. But, you know what? I understand the competitive thing. If you're not going to be in 100%, you might as well just, you know, forfeit whatever your entry fee is and take the losses.
No matter how little time Fred had to prepare. If he was up against like the likes of like Kevin Collins, I mean,
right,
you know he's going to finish ahead of Kevin. So, you know, we could get guys like that in the league. I mean, Fred would be ahead of them, no problem.
What do you say we answer a couple emails? We're also taking calls at 508-298-0398. The email address here is webradio@patriots.com. And don't forget, you can hit us up on Twitter at any time, even if you're listening to the show on demand, at FFChamps. We got a first emailer, Todd Marshall, has the 10th pick in a 12-team PPR draft. Now, here's the tricky part, Todd. You get one full point for a PPR wide receiver, a half a point for a running back, and a 1.25 for a tight end. Now, Marshall is one of our guys. He doesn't have the draft until later on in August, so we credit Marshall for that. He thinks he can get one of those top 10 running backs, but he's also leaning towards Jimmy Graham in that second round. I think it's a very smart pick, especially with this 1.25 point per reception.
Totally agree. I mean, he's sitting there at number 10,
yep.
And we've kind of teased the fact that we really like 9 running backs this year, right? This is a PPR format, so Megatron's going to go in the top nine. He's not going to get Megatron, right?
Yeah, right.
But he'll get one of those running backs. He'll be all set there. Mm-hmm. And then on the turn, if Jimmy Graham, if he's still there, he might not be in this format. I mean, think about it. In years past, Bill, Jimmy Graham was up there with Rob Gronkowski vying for the number one fantasy spot on draft day.
Right.
That's not the case anymore. It's Jimmy Graham and everybody else. So hopefully Jimmy Graham is there for him on the turn. And if he is, I have no problem with him doing that. I think that's a pretty smart move.
We got another emailer from Dan Higgins, our boy Higgins. He's also an FFChamps.com member. If my memory stands correct, I believe he won his league last year, sent us a really nice email at the end of the year, kind of thanking us for all the help throughout the season. But he was one of these listeners on Patriots.com, signed up for FFChamps.com, and then boom, won his league. That's what we're trying to do. He wants to know. It's great to hear FF Champs back on the radio. He wants to know, hey, Higgins is doing his work, man. He wants to know right now, who's a late round running back and wide receiver to pick up this year? And I have some pretty good ones, Todd. You can check out our sleepers at ffchamps.com. It's in our draft kit. I have some pretty good sleeper running backs, and I have some pretty good wide receiver options. But it really depends on how late we're talking. Are we talking like a fifth round running back that can maybe get you second round production, or a 10th round wide receiver that is going to be in the top 20 this year? You know, it really all depends on where you're looking to grab that latecomer.
Well, hook our man Mr. Higgins up. Give him a little bit of juice here. Who you got? Give us something.
I'm going to give him a little bit of both. First of all, I'm not saying this just because we're on Patriots Radio, but in a little bit we're going to go over the fantasy football preview for the Patriots, but I love Shane Vereen this year. If you're in a PPR league, I think this guy is going to be dynamite. We all know Stephen Ridley may be the first and second down option, but Vereen's going to be used all over the field. All these reports and everything that I'm hearing out of Patriots camp, he's lining up at wide receiver, lining up in the slot, taking handoffs in the backfield. I love that versatility that he's going to bring to this offense. And like we discussed with Fred, Tom Brady's going to need some new options this year. At least there's some chemistry from last season with Shane Vereen built in heading into 2013. He's one of those fourth or fifth round guys that I think can give you second or third round production.
Now, Vereen only had 70 touches last year, 62 rushing attempts, 8 receptions. Obviously, the whole Patriots receiving game has been blown to hell. So there's going to be plenty of new receptions to be had there. You know, what do you think he can do here? 70 touches? What kind of range are we talking to?
Well,
150,
listen,
200 touches? What?
In a PPR league, Danny Woodhead was a top 25 running back last year. Finished the year with top 25 in terms of fantasy points. I think Vereen can not only match what Woodhead did last year, but surpass it as well. I think he's an electrifying player, can take it the distance, you know, break out some big runs. I think he's going to be, you know, maybe 100, 125 rushes, can get up to 50, 60, 65 receptions this year. I think he's going to be dynamite, and if you're in a PPR league, again, Danny Wood had 40 receptions last year, finishing a top 25 for running back points. There's no reason to think that Vereen can't do the same.
All right, and what do you have at the wide receiver position for Mr. Higgins?
All right, now wide receivers are tough. I think you have to really look outside that first, you know, 25, 30 wide receivers in order to really nail down someone that is considered a sleeper at this point. You know, sleeper might be one of those most overused phrases in all of fantasy football, but there are a couple guys that I like. Love Tavon Austin from the St. Louis Rams. Think he can be a really special player for them. Again, another player kind of like Percy Harvin and Randall Cobb, where he lines up as a slot receiver, can line up on the outside, can line up in the backfield and take some handoffs. That's the kind of dynamic playmaker that you're looking for in fantasy, because he's going to have the ball a lot. And Tavon Austin, even though he's a rookie, I think the Rams are really going to put him to work this year. Don't be surprised if he finishes in the top 15.
I agree with you there. I mean, you know, there's a reason the Rams spent a top 10 draft pick on Mr. Austin.
Yep.
Players like Tavon Austin, Percy Harvin, they have a short shelf life, right?
Sure.
Look at Percy. He's hurt again. They don't last too long in this role. So I think that if you're the Rams, you got Sam Bradford, who this is a make or break year for him. You need to surround him with weapons. Austin, they're going to put him right into the mix. I think they're going to put him to the test right away. You know what I mean? I don't think they're going to ease him into the offense this year. I think he's going to be thrown right into the fire, and we'll see how he does. But he certainly has the skill set to do some serious damage.
All right, Todd, what do you say we take a quick break? We'll discuss more of the Patriots playmakers when it comes to fantasy football coming up next right here on Patriots.com Radio.
From your fantasy football draft to the league championship, the Fantasy Football Champs have you covered.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Rooting for the Patriots is great.
Woo!
Rooting for one specific Patriots player because he's on your fantasy football team? Well, that's just spectacular.
Brady on first down, play action, shoots it down the field, wide open, Gronkowski touchdown. That was like stealing. I mean, he was wide open.
It's time for the Patriots Fantasy Spotlight on Fantasy Football Champs.
All right, welcome back. Bill Enright, Todd DeVries hanging out with you right here on Patriots.com Radio. Fantasy football draft season. We can't get any more excited for 2013. We're here to help everyone win their league. So if you have a question, give us a call, 508-298-0398. Hit us up on Twitter, at FFChamps. Todd, what do you say we take a look at this New England Patriots team heading into the 2013? A new look Patriots. A lot of playmakers from last year not on the roster this year. Do you think that's going to be a problem?
Well, it'll be a problem in the minds of fantasy drafters across this country. I think there's a perception, Bill, and you touched on it when Fred was our guest. There's a perception here that this is kind of the end of the Brady era fantasy-wise. There's a lot of people that think with all these weapons gone that Brady's just going to go in the toilet. I'm not so sure. I mean, this isn't a situation where these injuries occurred during the season where they have to adjust on the fly, you know, as they're preparing for the next opponent. You know, these things happen during the offseason with months to prepare, even the Aaron Hernandez thing, beginning of the summer, you know. And yeah, you know, with Gronk hurt, they don't have a lot of options at tight end, but they have a couple months to figure it out. And if anybody's going to figure something out, it's probably going to be Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. So, you know, I think that's the first thing we got to start with, Bill, is Tom Brady. I mean, what are your expectations for Mr. Brady fantasy-wise this year?
Well, let's just quickly take a look at who's not on the roster this year. Danny Woodhead, 40 receptions in 2012. Wes Welker, 118 receptions last year. Brandon Lloyd, 74 receptions last year. Aaron Hernandez, 51 catches. So you look at those top four guys and you think, well, Rob Gronkowski's still on the roster, but he's pretty hurt. They signed Danny Amendola, hopefully to replace Wes Welker.
Right.
As you heard me say before, I think Shane Vereen can replace Danny Woodhead. But they're still looking, and Fred Kirsch touched on it below before, they're still looking for that second wide receiver. Maybe it's one of these rookies that are going to, you know, really step up into the starting role. And they're still looking for that second tight end, maybe even that first tight end, if Rob Gronkowski is not healthy to play. But at the end of the day, Todd, I still believe in Tom Brady because he's Tom Brady. He has proven to me that he can get it done with elite players, and he can get it done with some relatively unknown players that maybe he doesn't have a lot of chemistry with just yet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at Tom Brady's career stats, passing stats, right? You start about 2008 when he got injured in the first game of the year, okay? He's thrown for 4,400 yards, 4,000 yards, 5,200 yards, 4,800 yards, and another 4,800 yards in his last five full seasons. You know, touchdown passes, 50, 28, 36, 39, 34. All of those seasons they didn't have Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. You know, he's been pretty productive no matter who he has throwing to, who he's throwing to. Now, of course, the one year he had Randy Moss with the 50 touchdowns, you can throw that year out if you want to, the magical undefeated season. I just think that he's going to still throw for over 4,000 yards. He's still going to throw for 20-some-odd, 30 touchdown passes. He's still going to be really productive. I can't see. Now, if they have some more injuries to the receiving position, if Damian Amendola can't make it through the season and he isn't Mr. Durability, maybe I'll change my stance on that. If Gronk doesn't come back until week 10, maybe I'll change my stance on that. But again, I think Tom Brady's poised to be a top five fantasy quarterback.
I would love to hear what Patriot fans have to say about this. Are you drafting Tom Brady in your leagues? Do you think he's going to be that normal Tom Brady that we're so accustomed to seeing? Hit us up on the phone, 508-298-0398. Send us an email, webradio@patriots.com. Hit us up on Twitter, at FFChamps. I don't care how you do it, but I want to hear your opinion if you think Tom Brady is still going to be Tom Brady this year. Todd and I, it seems like Todd and I both agree. Yeah, of course he is. A top five finish is certainly what we expect from Mr. Brady this year.
Now, I don't think he's going to, you know, have one of his best seasons ever, of course. I don't think he's going to, you know, throw for 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns, but he'll be just fine. And if you, you know, and we do all the projections on ffchamps.com.
Yep.
He's going to he projects very well, you know. He really does. Now, the question's going to be, will you have that one guy in your league that's going to overpay for Tom Brady? And with a lot of Patriots fans listening to this show right now, up in New England, I'm sure that the Patriots get overdrafted in fantasy leagues a little bit, you know?
Right.
So if I'm up in New England drafting, Tom Brady's probably not going to be on my team because he'll probably get overdrafted. And we're going to get into the whole quarterback, when to draft a quarterback later in the show. But, you know, we project Tom Brady right now, 4,600 yards, 36 touchdown passes.
Not bad.
Pretty solid.
Number four quarterback on FFChamps.com cheat sheet.
Yeah. So, you know, I still think he's going to be really productive. Let's move on to the running back position, Bill.
Sure.
You know, we touched on this a little bit earlier as well. You love Shane Vereen. It's kind of that versatile back that can fill in for Danny Woodhead and then some. What's your take on Stephen Ridley and Vereen this year?
You know, I got a little bit of criticism on Twitter earlier in the week and a little bit earlier today when I said Stephen Ridley's a top 10 back this year. He's my number 10 running back on our rankings at ffchamps.com. And the reason being is, yeah, he only had six catches last year, but he still finished with over 1,200 yards and double-digit touchdowns. If anything, the Patriots may have to run the ball a little bit more than we're used to seeing. They still have a phenomenal offensive line. And what I saw from Ridley last year was he brought the consistency. He gave you that 80 to 100 yards every week. He got into the end zone 12 times. So when you think about what you want in terms of your fantasy football running back, you want someone that can bring it week in and week out. And I think that's what Stephen Ridley gives you.
Well, you can certainly debate, you know, and again, we'll go through our running back rankings a little later. You could certainly debate, you know, where he should be ranked, but he should be probably somewhere in that 10 to 15 range. I know you have him at number 10. It's pretty debatable whether you have him, you know, ahead of Alfred Morris, Steven Jackson, those types, but that's the company he's in right now. And like you said, he probably is going to be leaned on a little heavier than last year based upon all the losses to the receivers. If he can catch more than 8 or 9 balls this year, that would actually serve him pretty well because that's not a lot of production out of the passing game. But like you said, he's more of a first and second down guy, and he's a goal line back too, which you love in fantasy.
Absolutely. If he gets into the end zone, he gets paid dirt, man. That, you know, you want those touchdowns to stack up when you're talking about your number one running back.
All right, let's move over to the wide receivers, Bill. We touched on Danny Amendola. You know, Fred Kirsch from PFW, he thinks he can fill in for Wes Welker if he can stay healthy. What are your thoughts?
I agree, Todd, but the health is what matters. I think we agree that Danny Amendola will be very similar in the type of production if he plays all 16 games as Wes Welker. Is he going to catch 118 balls for 3 straight years like Welker did? I don't know about that because I haven't seen a full season from Danny Amendola yet. I believe the highest total he's had in one season was 85 receptions, and I believe that was 2 years ago when Josh McDaniels was still the coach of the St. Louis Rams.
Yeah, 85 catches. The thing with him was, and again, different offense, different quarterback, certainly in St. Louis, but 85 catches for only 689 yards.
Well, he got tackled a lot. When you're playing for the Rams, you know, it's...
He got tackled a lot.
Back in the day.
Is that what Ben Franklin said? He got tackled a lot?
Yeah.
He got tackled a lot.
Listen.
If he hadn't been tackled, he would have gone all the way.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is that...
If he doesn't get tackled, he's going to produce.
Listen, he was the only playmaker in the Rams receiving corps. It was Danny Amendola and Steven Jackson for a few years. I don't even know who their number two receiver was 3 years ago. So, yeah, of course Danny Amendola, he had a lot of yards. He had a lot of receptions, didn't get a lot of yards because defenses were all over him. Who else are you going to double cover? There's no one else for the Rams back in the day that you'd draw attention to. So, of course, it's going to be a guy like Amendola. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, thank you. I guess so. Who do you think might is anybody else from the wide receiver position draft worthy this time of year, or is it more of a wait and see type of thing with Aaron Dobson and Kembrell Tompkins and Josh Boyce and all these other guys? Is it kind of a wait and see mode? That's how I view it.
You know, right now, if you go to Patriots.com, you look at their depth chart. They have Michael Jenkins as the number two wide receiver opposite of Danny Amendola. Josh Boyce is behind Jenkins. Aaron Dobson's behind Jenkins. So I think it's going to be a wait and see, Todd. Let's catch these guys in a few preseason games before we start considering what wide receiver we're going to draft from the Patriots other than Amendola.
Right. I mean, again, let the preseason play out like we were advising here and see what happens because it's too early to tell. But right now, my hunch is I don't think there's going to be, unless you're in a super deep league or in a keeper league or something, my hunch is that other than Amendola, I don't think a lot of receivers are going to get drafted from the Patriots. I just don't see it.
You know, Amendola is tricky because the same thing with Wes Welker, the same thing applied to Welker over the years. Maybe he only had 8 touchdowns, 6 touchdowns, but his yards were just incredible. And the receptions really paid off. So if you're in a PPR league, you want Amendola. But if you're not in a PPR league, I would feel more comfortable drafting him as my wide receiver 3 than as my wide receiver 2 because you're not getting that 100 points for all the receptions that he's going to have this year. Does that strategy make sense to you?
Makes sense. I mean, I'm just kind of comparing Welker to Amendola. And again, different offenses, but that one year we just touched on with Amendola, 8 yards per catch.
He got tackled a lot.
It's terrible because he got tackled a lot. Wes Welker got tackled not quite as much. His yards per catch was 11.5 last year, just to give you a sense. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, where Amendola, I'm sure it'll improve, whether it can improve up to Welker's standards or not. It's another story. But I think that kind of closes the loop on the wide receivers. Hopefully Amendola can stay healthy, see who shines here in preseason, who can wind up being that WR2 for the Pats. Now let's move over to the dreaded tight end position, Bill. I mean, Fred was talking about Daniel Fells being perhaps a, you know, a red zone target. But you can't get excited about these tight ends until Gronk comes back.
You really can't. And it's really a shame for Rob Gronkowski to be going through with the injuries because, man, he was just a machine when he was on the field. You know, Patriot fans love him. Fantasy football managers love him because he was like a wide receiver. You know, he was like Calvin Johnson. Just absolutely incredible, productive, everything you could possibly want from a tight end. And now there's really no one else like it other than Jimmy Graham. So not only does it affect the Patriots, but it affects the tight end position as a whole in fantasy football.
Let's touch on that. Where do you have Gronk ranked right now? If your draft is today, where is he ranked on FFJams.com?
Three.
Number three. Where yes. would you feel comfortable taking him on draft day if your draft was now?
I feel like he becomes a value in the fifth round.
Fifth round.
Yeah.
So if you're grabbing him in the fifth round, you're hedging your bets. You're thinking he's going to be there for at least the majority of the season.
If you can get 12 games out of Rob Gronkowski this year, you're happy.
In the fifth round, you're happy.
Yep.
All right. 12 weeks of the Gronk that we know and love.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
All right. I tell you.
But Todd, I mean, keep in mind, you know, we heard what Fred said. Maybe he starts the year on the pup list. Obviously, the benefit of having a site like FF Champs is he comes out on the pup list to start the season, or in the next couple weeks, we move him down. You know, we move him outside of the top 10. He's going to miss the first 8 games of the year. He's not going to be my number three tight end for very long.
Right. He's a guy that you stash on your roster, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe if you have the roster room to do it, you stash him away and then you save him for your stretch run.
It used to be Gronk and Graham. Now it's just Graham at the top.
Absolutely. It's just Graham. It's just Jimmy G.
It's just Jimmy G. Yep. That's right. Tough to swallow, but you got to deal with it. You know, the Aaron Hernandez situation kind of made the tight end position that much more scarce this year, too. Dennis Pittet gets injured. You know, tight ends are falling off the radar here at a pretty rapid pace, and we didn't even get to week one yet.
Well, you know, to get back to the emailer from the previous segment, Bill, that's why Jimmy Graham, his value, especially in PPR leagues, it's going to go through the roof.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It really is. I mean, because he's the guy. And I guess PPR, you could start to argue, you know, Jason Witten and Gonzo. But, man, Jimmy Graham, he's just going to be – he might be overdrafted in some leagues.
Yeah, he might be. But if you're in a PPR league, I don't know if, you know, you draft him in the top 15, I think that's a smart move. Jimmy Graham could put up Calvin Johnson-like numbers.
In leagues that I'm in PPR leagues that I'm in, Bill, I'm telling you, he might not last past 12 or 13.
I don't know if I'd be able to blame someone for doing that.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Last year, he was pretty hurt, and he still finished with 982 yards, 9 touchdowns, and 85 receptions.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but he's just separating himself from the pack so much that his value is just going to – it's just going to continue to skyrocket. So, man. I mean, think about these other guys. I mean, you got Gronk, who's injured. Gonzo and Witten are old men, right?
Yeah.
So it's gonna be Jimmy G, and then there's gonna be a lull on draft day, a couple rounds, and then you'll see another little run on tight ends.
If you don't have the benefit of drafting Tony Gonzalez, Jason Witten, Vernon Davis, and you don't want to reach on Rob Gronkowski, just wait. It's not worth it to reach for someone like Antonio Gates or Owen Daniels. Just wait. Wait until you're out into the double digits and pick up your tight end. Stack up on some wide receivers. Make sure you have your running backs. Just wait on tight end this year because I'll tell you, it is scarce. It is slim pickings for tight ends if you don't get Graham, Gonzo, Witten, or Davis.
Yep,
I agree. If Gronk doesn't come back healthy, it makes it even worse.
Yeah, well, exactly. And hopefully by the time my drafts roll around, we'll have some more definitive news on Gronk. But until then, I kind of like Vernon Davis. You know, I don't want to dwell too much on these tight ends, but with Crabtree out in San Francisco,
yep.
Colin Kaepernick kind of coming into his own, I wouldn't be surprised if Vernon Davis has a bounce-back year.
All right, enough about tight ends, enough about the New England Patriots fantasy playmakers. We're going to go and talk about draft strategy. Very important for this time of year. We have the 10 commandments of winning fantasy football. You can catch it all on ffchamps.com. By the way, 50% off for patriots.com listeners. It's like a no-brainer at this point. It's $29.95 for the year, Todd. You know, we take you from preseason with our draft kit We'll help you out all the way till week 16, week 17 in your fantasy football championship. I mean, it's a no-brainer if you're serious about winning fantasy football. But we have the Ten Commandments, the backbone of the FF Champs strategy and foundation. That's coming up next. You're listening to the FF Champs on Patriots.com Radio.
FFChamps.com. Extraordinary results for fantasy football dominance.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket, the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you always get the best seats at the best prices, all with Ace Ticket's 200% guarantee. Ace Ticket has your seats to all the games, including Yankees tickets starting at $59. Ace Ticket has your seats to all of this summer's hottest concerts. It's so easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your business better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a business checking account, better banking is a package of business solutions with preferred rates and better resources, along with customizable options designed to fit your business perfectly. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. Let us show you how dedicated we can be to your business. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
It's fantasy football time on Patriots.com with the Fantasy Football Champs.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Dominate your league with the guys from FFChamps.com.
Brees throwing back in the end zone! Leaping grab! Touchdown!
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright are the Fantasy Football Champs.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Football Champs on Patriots.com Radio. I'm Bill, he's Todd, and it is time for the Ten Commandments of Winning Fantasy Football. These are great rules to follow, whether you're a rookie fantasy football player or a veteran fantasy football player. These 10 rules will get you, will bring you success. I promise you. It's what we build the foundation of our entire strategy at FFChamps.com. Because what it does is it gives you a blueprint of what to do on draft day, of how to make the right decisions, of making sure that you get quality players on your team, and the result will be you're going to win your league.
And Bill, there's a rumor going around that you have these Ten Commandments tattooed to your right butt cheek. Is that true?
I am ink free, but that wouldn't be that was not that's not a bad idea.
No?
No, right. I don't have it.
That's the rumor. That's what Kevin told me. I don't know.
No, but I'll tell you where they are tattooed. They're tattooed on the FFChamps.com draft kit. You can find them right on the right-hand side of the page. There's only 10 of them, and trust me, guys, they will help you win your fantasy football league this year. If you're serious about winning, follow the Ten Commandments. Let's start it off with commandment number one.
Number one, know thy scoring system.
All right, Bill. This one seems pretty obvious, but seriously, how many times have you gone draft day, Bill, and you're halfway into your draft, and some knucklehead says, is this PPR?
Oh, it's
PPR
the worst.
This year? You're like, come on, man, really? Really?
It's the worst.
Ugh. You know your scoring system. Know how many players you start at each position. If you're one of the rare leagues, and I'm in one of these, where you start two quarterbacks, it makes a big difference in who you're drafting when. If you're in a league that's PPR versus non-PPR, it completely changes the cheat sheet.
It sure does. So
you got to know. You got to know. If you're in a league with gigantic bonuses for long touchdowns, you know, it alters things in a big way.
I can't stress this enough. The great thing about our rankings, our customized cheat sheets, is they are customizable. So when you have a scoring system that gives bonuses for 100 yards rushing or receiving, or 300 yards for a quarterback that's throwing the football, or a full point PPR like you mentioned, or maybe it's touchdown only, you can enter all that information into our system, and then it gives you an individualized, it gives you a customized rankings for your league scoring system.
Let me give the audience a little sneak, a behind the scenes look here. When we have a caller on the line, Bill, here's what I do. I'm on FFChamps.com, and when the caller says, I'm in a PPR league, I simply click PPR cheat sheet, and suddenly all of the cheat sheet changes around to fit the PPR format. The next caller comes up and he's in a non-PPR. I click one button and the cheat sheet changes back to the format that we're talking to with the caller. Yep. It's all right there. Click of the button, but it makes a huge difference. You've really got to know your scoring system. I know it sounds, man, you must be a moron not to know this, but you'd be surprised. You know, some of these leagues, some of these commissioners get cute on you.
Yeah.
You might slip a new rule in that you aren't aware of. Make sure you know what you're doing before you get there on draft day.
All right, commandment number one, know thy scoring system. Commandment number two, let's go on.
Commandment number two, thou shalt stick to thy tiers.
Bill, that sounded a lot like your voice.
That is my voice.
The fantasy voice from...
I believe the Patriots public address announcer, whoever the voiceover guy is, I think he didn't like that one, so he didn't read it. So it's number one, and then 3 through 10, his voice, and number two is my voice.
You know what I think happened, actually? I think when you submitted that to the voiceover guy, I think you wrote out, thou shalt stick to thy ties.
Oh.
And then he read it like that, and then we were like, oh, we can't use that. Can't stick to ties.
No.
Reference to Donovan McNabb and ties overtime?
No.
What is
stick
that?
Stick to thy tiers.
Stick to the tiers. Here's the deal. We group them into tiers on the cheat sheet. All the players nicely bunched into where we think they're going to perform. If you're on the clock in, let's say, the third round, and you look at the tiers, and there's one running back left in a certain tier in the rankings, and there's six wide receivers left, and you aren't sure whether to draft a running back or a wide receiver, you take the running back. You know one of those six wide receivers is going to be there at your next pick. It's pretty simple. It's a way to group these players into how we kind of feel they're going to perform this year.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself.
There you go. Let's move on to the next one. Commandment number three.
Four. Oh, three.
Four.
You're right.
Three.
Three. Three. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Commandment number three. Let's bring it on.
Number three, thou shalt avoid players from bad teams.
There you go. So the teams, are we going to talk about this in the next segment, Bill, or are we going to break
it? No, we're going to do it right now. You want to stay away from teams that suck, okay? They're not going to be scoring points. They're not going to get into the end zone. And that's going to hamper. That's going to have a negative effect on individual performances for players on that team.
Gotcha. So let's talk about the teams that suck.
Yeah.
How about number one, the New York Jets?
Awful.
Is there anyone on their roster
not
worth
one person?
Yeah. Not a single guy. Unless maybe Chris Ivory's there in like the later rounds. Maybe.
And right now he's not even at camp, he's hurt.
Exactly. The Jets are terrible. They're a terrible team. I'm sure the Patriots fans love hearing that. No one will get drafted from the Jets on my teams. I play in about 8 different leagues. I'll have no Jets, Bill. No Jets on my team.
And definitely not Mark Sanchez or Geno Smith.
Ugh.
Their wide receivers are horrendous. I think my high school team has better wide receivers. Jeremy Curley and Stephen Hill. Santonio Holmes, not healthy. And then they signed Chris Ivory. I liked what he did with the Saints, but he was always injured, and he's injured right now. So no one from the Jets this year.
No. Unless you get huge bonuses for butt fumbles, no Jets.
Just stay away.
Stay away. Who
else?
Who are
some other bets? Yeah, the Oakland Raiders. I mean, come on. They're starting Matt Flynn at quarterback this year. They lost Darius Heyward-Bey. They lost Brandon Myers in his 79 receptions from last year. Other than Darren McFadden, maybe he's the only exception. I'm staying away from the Oakland Raiders. And even with McFadden, listen, I hold grudges, Todd. He's burned me so many times in fantasy football. I don't care that he's entering a contract year. I'm not drafting him unless it's like crazy value in the 6th or 7th round and magically he's still there. I will let some other fool in my league take Darren McFadden, watch him play 3 or 4 weeks and then hurt his hamstring, something with his knee or his quad or his shoulder or a pectoral muscle. Something will happen to run DMC this year, and I'm just going to be happy that I don't have to deal with any of his nonsense Oakland Raider drama.
I totally agree. Moving on, how about another really bad team, but there might be an exception on this one. The Jacksonville Jaguars, Bill, they've got a guy named Maurice Jones-Drew. Where do you value him? He's on a really bad team, but when he's healthy, and he's in a contract year, when he's healthy, the guy produces.
Listen, MJD is absolutely an exception to the avoid players from bad team rule. I'll tell you why, because we've seen him play on bad teams before throughout his entire career, and he's dynamite, dominant, destructive when it comes to opposing defenses. That's 3 Ds for you. That's why I love MJD. Typically, a top 5 running back in fantasy football, has the Lisfranc injury, missed a lot of last season. I don't think he was fully conditioned because he did have that holdout situation, but he's 27 years old. He's entering the final year of his contract, and you know he's going to want to get paid at the end of this year. Extra motivation for MJD can only mean good things for your fantasy football team. Right now, he's being drafted in the late 2nd, early 3rd rounds. Pick him up as your running back, too, and you'll be really, really happy throughout the entire season.
That being said, Bill, sticking to the commandment with MJD, yeah, and he is an exception, if I'm deciding between him and Steven Jackson this year,
I'm taking Steven Jackson. Absolutely.
They're both very – we project them to both have similar stats.
Yeah.
One guy's on a really good team, one guy's on a terrible team. That's where this comes into play for me with an exception.
Right. So if you're on the fence between two players, go with the player on the better team. I think that's a great point, Todd.
All right. Moving on to the next commandment. Commandment number 4.
Thou shalt draft players from the next great offenses.
All right, Bill. We love this one. Right?
We certainly do.
This is the one where you really have fun analyzing and projecting and really putting this out there for the audience at ffchamps.com. This is where you're looking for the teams, not the ones that are already great, the offenses, or the Patriots, the Packers, the Saints. You're looking for the next great ones because this is where you're going to find the value on draft day. And the team I want to start with here, Bill, are the Kansas City Chiefs. Right? Kansas City Chiefs, how many Pro Bowlers did they have last year? They had a bunch.
Yeah, they did.
Terrible team. What were they, 2-14? And they had like 6 Pro Bowlers, a couple of them on offense. I mean, look at Dwayne Bowe at wide receiver. Look at Jamaal Charles at running back. They've got some skill position players that can play. they just didn't have any sort of system going on around them to help him out.
Right.
You bring in Andy Reid, and yeah, he wore out his welcome in Philadelphia, but the guy knows offense.
He sure knows.
He knows how to take advantage of a running back with the skill set of Jamal Charles. Look at Brian Westbrook. Look at LeSean McCoy. Jamal Charles this year, Bill. I mean, if he can stay healthy, man, he's going to be a
dynamite.
Top three running back.
Jamal Charles is a guy that, like Adrian Peterson last year, was coming off an ACL injury. People weren't really sure what to expect. And if it wasn't for Adrian Peterson's ridiculously magical 2,000-yard season where he just came 9 yards shy of breaking the NFL's single-season rushing record, the spotlight would have been on Jamal Charles. Because coming off that same ACL injury, he had 1,500 rushing yards last year. That's incredible, whether you're 100% healthy to start the year, and even more so that he was coming off that knee injury. So love what Jamal Charles can do in Andy Reid's system. Todd, you know very well what we've seen from running backs in the past, starting with Brian Westbrook, LeSean McCoy. These guys have been great options, especially in PPR leagues. Love what we're going to get out of Jamal Charles this year. Now that he has a very smart head coach in Andy Reid and a capable quarterback in Alex Smith.
I totally agree. So the Chiefs, a team on the rise offensively. Now, will that translate into a lot of wins next year on the football field?
Maybe we don't care.
Right?
We don't care.
Who cares? We just want to see a lot of points scored by their skill position players. The Chiefs are one of those teams to keep an eye on whose offense is pointed in the right direction. Who else we got on this list, Bill? You want to talk about the Bengals?
Sure. We got the Cincinnati Bengals, the Miami Dolphins, the Detroit Lions, and the St. Louis Rams to go along with the Chiefs. So if you disagree with us and you don't think they're one of those next great offenses, pick up the phone, give us a call, 508-298-0398. Hit us up on Twitter, at FFChamps. Todd's at CFFGeek. I'm at Bill Enright. Let us know if you think we're wrong about this, but I'll tell you what, the Bengals, to me, Todd, a very young team. We saw them make the playoffs the last 2 years. Andy Dalton's entering his third year. A.J. Green, my number two wide receiver, is entering his third year. They drafted your boy, Giovanni Bernard, who you think could be an extra special player. Still have the law firm, Jarvis Green Ellis. They drafted Tyler Eifert to go along with Jermaine Gresham. And Mohamed Sanu is coming back from his injury. Very productive as a wide receiver, number two.
A lot of youth.
I mean, these guys, they're all on. It's like they're starting a little dynasty team with just the Bengals.
I know.
Very impressive. I'm excited for this offense this year. Think you can get a lot of playmakers from this team for cheap. Other than A.J. Green, you can pick up a guy like Giovanni Bernard or Jarvis Green Ellis and maybe use him for your flex play a few times.
Yeah, I agree. I'll disagree on one of these teams that I'm not sold on yet.
Who's that?
On the list. Miami Dolphins.
I think really?
If we're talking about the next great offense and we're talking about production for this season,
yeah,
I'm not so sure about that. Maybe 2-3 years down the line. I don't know, man. I am not sold on the Dolphins yet.
Is it because you don't believe in Ryan Tannehill?
I'm not a huge believer in Tannehill, and I'm not quite sure about their passing game or the rushing game with Lamar Miller. Not quite sold on him yet.
All right. Well, let's start it off with the receivers and the quarterback. Ryan Tannehill, very overshadowed last year in terms of rookie wide receivers. I mean, you think about last year's group, you have Andrew Luck, RG3, and Russell Wilson. You forget Ryan Tannehill and Brandon Weeden were even rookie quarterbacks last year because no one was talking about them. Now, I don't think Tannehill had a lot of weapons. So what did the Miami Dolphins do this offseason? They signed Mike Wallace to a big-time contract. They re-signed Brian Hartline. They brought in Brandon Gibson. They signed Dustin Keller, the tight end. They lost Reggie Bush. But some people think Lamar Miller is on the verge of a big-time breakout campaign in just his second year in the NFL. Do I think they're as far advanced as maybe the Bengals or the Chiefs? No. I'm going to take that wait-and-see approach, too. But I think they're absolutely capable of making that next step as early as this year. Maybe it does take them 2 or 3 years, but I think the potential for them to take that step is there for 2013.
All right. I mean, if you're talking about the Bengals, they've got an established superstar in A.J. Green. Talking about the
right.
Lions, who are on this list. You got Megatron, you got Stafford, who are established.
Talk about the Reggie Bush.
Yeah. Talk about the Chiefs. We've already covered them. They've got some established skill position guys. The Dolphins have nobody that's established. None. I mean, Mike Wallace, maybe. But Mike Wallace is going from the Pittsburgh Steelers team with a, you know, multiple Super Bowl winning quarterback to Ryan Tannehill. So I'm not sold yet. Maybe at the end of the year, you'll prove to be right on this one. But I'm not sold on the Dolphins' offense this year. I don't think they'll be putting up a lot of points.
All right. Well,
we agree to disagree, my friend.
We are going to agree.
Is that a Ben Franklin quote too?
No, I believe the Ben Franklin quote on that one is Bill is right, Todd is wrong.
Ah.
He was thinking way far ahead when he made that one. No one knew what that quote meant until now. Now it all makes sense. The history books have finally been answered.
Got it.
All right, the next commandment is commandment number 5. This one's your favorite commandment, Todd. Let's play it and hear what it is.
Number 5, thou shalt wait on thy QB.
I love this one because it's brought me so many titles, Bill. Year after year after year, I just sit back and I watch these guys take Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, even Tom Brady in the first round or two. And I sit back and I get tremendous value out of a guy like, I don't know, Matt Stafford in the 7th round. Last year, I was really high, and it was a little bit different, but I was really high on taking both Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III. I was really high on those guys coming out of college, and I kind of platooned them last year. That worked out very well for me as well, and I got them in the 8th, 9th round. There's no need to reach for the quarterback position, especially this year, Bill.
You know,
how many quarterbacks do you trust this year?
I think there's 12 solid ones that you can feel very confident, very comfortable having them as your starting quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, this time last year, okay, this time last year we didn't really know. I mean, people weren't sure yet on RG3. They weren't sure yet on Luck. They weren't sure yet on Russell Wilson. And Colin Kaepernick wasn't the starting quarterback in San Francisco. So now you add those four guys to an already established list of the Bradys and the Breezes and all those guys. There's so many quarterbacks, Bill. Unless you're in a two-quarterback league, you start two quarterbacks, there is absolutely no reason to take one of the 5, 6, 7, 8 quarterbacks off the board. Wait till the middle rounds. You're going to be just fine.
Yeah, and, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about how Tom Brady is still going to be Tom Brady, even with a lot of his weapons. But if you really want to win fantasy football, you're not even concerned about drafting Tom Brady this year. You don't even want Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees or Peyton Manning. Those are not the players that are going to bring you value. You have to spend the first, second, maybe third round pick in order to land Manning or Brees or Brady on your squad. And instead of taking that second running back or that stud wide receiver, you're going to take a pick like an Aaron Rodgers or a Drew Brees. And then in the 8th round, when you take Brees and I load it up on my running backs and wide receivers to start the draft, I'm going to go out and grab a guy like Colin Kaepernick or Matt Stafford or RG3 or even Tony Romo, who may score 2 or 3 points less than your quarterback per week. But you know what? My running back that I took in the 2nd round is going to score maybe 10 or 15 points more than your running back that you're now scrambling in the 5th or the 6th round to get because you wasted a pick in the 2nd or 3rd.
I totally agree. I mean, this is kind of – it really is kind of a golden age for fantasy quarterbacks right now. It really
is. It's great.
Is.
I mean, let's just run through 12 of them.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. That's really the elite class.
Okay.
I'm not even considering any of them on my squad.
Right.
Now it starts to get interesting. Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, Matt Stafford. Those are guys you can pick up in the 5th, 6th, 7th rounds that are capable of producing the same kind of stats that the top four guys are. Then you follow that up with RG3. All signs indicate that he's going to be ready to go week one. Was a top 5 quarterback last year as a rookie. Absolutely incredible considering you drafted him after the 10th round. You got Colin Kaepernick, went undrafted last year. All signs indicate that he's going to be able to both run and make plays with his arm. And we love those dual-threat quarterbacks, Todd, because when quarterbacks start running the football, the fantasy football points start going up.
Yeah. And then you haven't even mentioned Tony Romo, Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson,
and Russell
Eli
Wilson.
Manning.
Right. So the Romo, Luck, and Wilson and Manning round out the top 13. If you don't like Tony Romo because you think he's a choke artist in real NFL, well, then you clearly don't understand the purpose of fantasy football because last year Tony Romo finished as the 7th highest quarterback in terms of fantasy points. We don't care that he doesn't win playoff games.
He almost threw for 5,000 yards last year.
Exactly.
4,900
yards. We only
yards.
Care what he does during the regular season. Cowboy fans may be very upset that he's still their quarterback because He only has won one playoff game in his career. Fantasy football fans love him because he's going to be throwing to Dez Bryant, Jason Witten, DeMarco Murray, and Miles Austin this year. And that's a recipe for success when it comes to valuable quarterbacks that you can grab later on in the draft.
Again, Bill, the last two seasons, 2 years ago, I waited till the 7th, 8th, 9th round, and I targeted Matt Stafford. That worked out pretty well for me. Last year, I targeted the rookies. I liked them a lot, RG3 and Andrew Luck. I got him in the same range, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th round, and it worked out well for me. This year, I don't even know who I'm targeting because there's like five guys that I could target now because there's such a dearth of these quarterbacks right now. I love it.
You know, Matthew Stafford is a quarterback that last year he led the league in passing attempts. Is right always around that 5,000 yard mark, which is absolutely insane to think about. He had 20 touchdowns last year, 17 interceptions, but who was he passing to other than Calvin Johnson? This year he's got Reggie Bush, Ryan Broyles, and Nate Burleson coming back in action, and he has the best receiver in the game. Stafford's touchdown totals are going to go way up this year, and he's going to be a steal for anyone that drafts him, I don't know, after the sixth round.
Totally agree. All right.
All right.
Let's go to commandment number six.
Number six, thou shalt covet thy stud wide receiver.
Speaking of Megatron, Bill, how about Mr. Calvin Johnson as a first round pick?
You gotta love what Megatron did last season, even without the touchdowns. He got tackled 5 times inside the 5-yard line. That's not going to happen again. His touchdowns are going to be fine. He broke Jerry Rice's single season receiving record. He's a lock for, I don't know, 115 catches if you're in a PPR league. Without a doubt, he's worth taking in the first round.
1,964 yards receiving.
That's crazy.
Only 5 touchdowns. Shocking. That touchdown, that's going to double. He's going to score 10 to 12 touchdowns this year.
Definitely. Like I said, 5 times he got tackled inside the 5-yard line.
Yep. His yards will go down. He might, you know, he might only catch only 1,500 or 1,600 yards receiving, but he's going to get 10 to 12 touchdowns. Yeah, if he's there in the first round, Bill, you got to covet the running backs, of course, but if you're in any type of PPR league, you really got to take a close look at Calvin Johnson as a first-round draft pick. He's probably going to be the only wide receiver going in most first-round drafts that I'm in.
Agreed with that. And you know what? He is the wide receiver to have. But let's talk about the other stud wide receivers. I mean, this year especially, you got a lot of young playmakers. A.J. Green, Demaryius Thomas, Julio Jones, Dez Bryant. Throw Randall Cobb into the mix to go along with Brandon Marshall. There's a lot of true number one wide receivers this year. And that's not even including Larry Fitz.
No, it's not including Victor Cruz, Roddy White.
Right. So
Vincent Jackson, Dwayne Bowe, Andre Johnson.
Make sure that you go out and get yourself a number one wide receiver. It pays big-time dividends when it comes to fantasy football success. That's commandment number six. Covet thy stud wide receiver. Let's move on to number seven.
Number seven, thou must draft key players back up.
Bill, this one, the example I always like to point to here is the Buffalo Bills last couple years, right? Usually on draft day, correct me if I'm wrong, Fred Jackson was the first of the two Buffalo Bills running backs to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the smart drafter would handcuff him with C.J. Spiller.
Right.
And so when Fred Jackson went down to an injury, C.J. Spiller came in and blew it up. You were sitting pretty. The worst thing in the world is when you draft the number one guy and then one of your opponents grabs the backup and rides that backup to the playoffs.
It is literally a kick in the balls in terms of fantasy
football. Oh, it's the worst. So what you got to do is this. If you know, you obviously got to keep track of all your players that you're drafting and who their handcuffs might be. There are some handcuffs that aren't worth drafting sometimes, Bill.
Right.
You know, you got to have there's certain situations where you have that clear-cut number two guy who might be proven. He might have stepped in previous years and had a couple of huge games when he had the opportunity. Make sure you draft those guys, you know. Put a high value on them. Don't wait till the last round to draft your backup running back if he's somebody that you know someone else might grab. You might need to take him a round or two earlier just so that your opponents don't steal him from you.
Plain and simple, you got to handcuff your studs.
Yep.
That's what you just have to do it. Draft your key players back up. You don't want to be left on the sidelines when your guy goes down with an injury or if he goes down with an injury. You have his backup. It's an insurance policy. The reason why you get car insurance or life insurance is because accidents happen, injuries happen. Get an insurance policy for your stud player in fantasy football.
Yep, a couple real quick ones, Bill. Let's go through Bernard Pierce, the natural handcuff to
Ray Rice.
Bryce Brown, the handcuff to LeSean McCoy. We aren't really sure about the Denver situation yet, but you could argue Ronnie Hillman and Monte Ball might be worth handcuffing. Those are just a couple of examples.
Ben Tate for Arian Foster, Toby Gerhart for Adrian Peterson, Michael Bush for Matt Forte. You know, there's a lot of them, and there's a difference between a running back by committee and drafting both of the running backs that are in the committee and handcuffing your running back. You know, Arian Foster and Ben Tate, that's not a running back by committee down there in Houston. That's a handcuff situation. The same thing with the opposite would be, which what I think is going to happen in Denver. I think that's going to end up being a running back by committee with Ronnie Hillman and Monte Ball. So you know the difference, but again, it's an insurance policy. Grab your handcuffs.
Yep. Let's move on to the next commandment. Commandment number eight.
Number eight, thou shalt not draft two studs from the same team.
Bill, there's always somebody on draft day who wants to pair up that quarterback with his wide receiver. They want Peyton Manning and Wes Welker. They want Matt Stafford and Megatron, you know? And, you know, sometimes that'll prove to be extremely, you know, you'll have some huge weeks when the two of them go off.
Yep.
When Stafford hits Megatron for 3 touchdowns and 200 yards, Stafford throws for 400 yards, you're going to crush your opponent that week. The problem is, it's not always real consistent. You're going to have a lot of highs and a lot of lows. The key in fantasy football for the long haul is to be consistent. You don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. That's why this commandment exists.
You know, I have a friend that works on Wall Street, Todd, and he's always telling me, Bill, diversify your profile. You got to diversify. It's all about diversity. I'm like, whatever, man. You just handle my account. Do what you got to do, and I appreciate it. Well, this is kind of like that rule. When it comes to fantasy football players, you want to be a little bit diverse. You don't want to invest all your players from one team, because if one of those players goes down, it's like a domino effect, and you'll suffer pretty negative consequences.
Totally agree. I mean, from time to time, do I wind up with a couple guys that are on the same team? Yes, but I certainly try to steer clear from it whenever I can.
Did you like my diversity in the stock market example?
Yeah, you went into some other strange voice. It was like a character.
Well, that's how my stockbroker friend talks. You got to diversify. You got to diversify. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's an interesting character you got there.
He makes a lot of money. So whatever he says, I listen to. That are listening to this show should listen to us when we say don't draft two studs from the same team.
There's somebody out there that's putting on their Bill Enright voice right now.
I'm sure that they're having a blast doing
it. All right, let's move on to commandment number nine.
There we go.
Number nine, thou shalt not draft a kicker or defense too early.
Bill, if you draft a kicker or a defense in the middle rounds, you're a flat-out chump.
You're a sucker.
There's no reason for that. When the guy in your draft room, you know, we're in the middle rounds and you're cleaning up, grabbing some nice running back value and wide receiver value, and there's a guy flipping through his magazine in the corner, and then he goes, I'm taking the Niners defense.
Oh, you want to smack him across the face or clap because you know that he's going to have a pretty bad team.
What happens is, the novice fantasy footballer, or the guy that gets nervous on draft day, he can't decide. There's a bunch of wide receivers in there in the eighth, ninth round, and he's like, I might as well just grab the best defense instead of making a decision.
Don't do it.
Wait until the late rounds. Another rule of thumb, Bill, that I go by, wait until 7 or 8 defenses are gone, and then maybe strike, you know?
Yeah, that's
And when it comes to kickers, last round, hands down, last round. No ifs, ands, or buts. There's no reason, none, to draft a kicker higher than the last round of your draft.
Absolutely not. If you're taking a kicker in, I don't know, any time before, whatever, if you're in a 16-round draft and you take a kicker in the 13th or 14th round, you'll be kicking yourself in the butt, because you really should just be waiting until the last round. I don't care if you take your 7th wide receiver and you cut him week 1. It'll still be a better strategy than taking a kicker too early.
Totally agree. Yep, totally agree. I don't think there's anything more to be said here. If you don't listen to this one, then, you know, you're not going to win your league.
Right.
It's as simple as that. Take some shots. Roll the dice on some guy, you know, on some sleepers. All the kickers are the same. They're all the same, and they change year to year. It's impossible to predict them. Just take a kicker in the last round.
All right, and the final commandment is what?
Commandment number 10.
Number 10, thou shalt start your studs.
Bill, this one has to do more with the in-season and the preseason.
Right.
But how many times do we get emails coming into ffchamps.com asking, you know, Bill, Adrian Peterson's up against the 49ers defense this week. I'm really thinking Ben Jarvis Green Ellis might be the play.
It doesn't make sense. You drafted Adrian Peterson for a reason, to be your number one player in fantasy football. You always start your studs. Don't bench him because of matchups. The worst is not only the defense, it's not. How about when people call us and say, well, you know, it's supposed to be a little rainy. I'm not sure if they're going to be able to pass the football out. Oh, my God. Are you people serious? Just leave your studs in the game. Leave them in your starting roster. Don't take them out until they're on a bye week. Otherwise, you're going to be kicking yourself in the butt when they go off and have a huge game like they're expected to have. They're a stud for a reason. We make it so easy for you. During the season, we have our stud list. We have our borderline stud list. If any of your players are on those lists, you leave them in your starting lineup. Start your studs, start your studs, start your studs. I'm going to be saying it all year long.
Patriots fans will remember a couple years ago, they played the Cardinals late in the year.
Mm-hmm.
In the snow, in Gillette.
Right.
You remember that game?
Yes, yes, yes.
It was like 44 to nothing or something like that.
Yes.
I was at the game as a fan.
See, well, there you go.
I could be wrong. I believe I was definitely it was definitely a playoff, a fantasy playoff weekend. It might have been my title game. I can't remember exactly, but it was a huge game for me fantasy-wise. And I'm playing against the guy who has Tom Brady.
That sucks.
He benches him.
Oh.
That's better.
See, he's an idiot.
Yeah, he benches him because of the
what
weather.
What a turd.
You're a loser.
He didn't start a stud. You know, he started, Matt Moore or someone. Like, ridiculous. Because the weather in New England was bad. And
hey,
then
boss,
Brady threw for
you're a loser.
Yards.
You're a loser.
Yeah. You know, that's, I mean, you just start your studs. Simple. It makes your job so much easier. Do all the hard work on draft day and then ride it out throughout the season.
So listen, that's the Ten Commandments for winning fantasy football, the backbone of our strategy for success at ffchamps.com. I got to say it again, 50% off for patriots.com listeners. Head over to the site now. We're going to help you dominate your fantasy football drafts, help you dominate throughout the regular season. We're with you every step of the way. We're your co-GM. We want to help as many people win as possible. But the only way to do that is if you go ahead, sign up at ffchamps.com, special 50% discount for Patriots.com listeners.
It's a good deal.
You can't beat that deal, Todd. I mean, I'm literally with you. You and I are here every Tuesday from 4 to 6 p.m. We're on demand, but we're only getting to a fraction of the stuff that we get to onto the site. It's an incredible service. If you're serious about winning fantasy football, check out the site. You'll see what I mean.
Couldn't agree more, Bill. If for anything else, just to bother Bill. Just bother
him. There you go.
You know, keep him working.
Keep them busy.
Keep them busy.
My girlfriend doesn't care. You know, she's out shopping. Listen, what do you say we take a quick break? When we get back, we're going to go over our top 10 running backs. Maybe we'll hit on some sleeper running backs this year. But the top 10 running backs, I mean, everyone wants to know who's in our top 10 every year. It's the biggest question I get asked all season long. Who's in the top 10? Who's in the top – or all off-season long, I should say. People want to know who's in the top 10. We're going to reveal that next. You're listening to the Fantasy Football Champs.
Winning made easy with FFChamps.com.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down to 65 odd megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright are the Fantasy Football Champs.
Hey, welcome back to the Fantasy Football Champs on Patriots.com Radio. I'm Bill, he's Todd, and guess what time it is? It is time for our top 10 running backs, something that is a fan favorite for everyone that does fantasy football, especially the members at FFChamps.com. They always want to know who's in our top 10 running backs, and Todd, this year is a little bit different, or a lot different than last year, where we were kind of struggling to make a top 10 and feel confident and feel comfortable with them. Not the case this year. We love the guys in the top 10.
It's a deep year, man. I mean, we talked about the depth at quarterback. There's also depth at running back. This is a good year for fantasy football. There are going to be a lot of people, Bill, coming out of the first two rounds of their draft feeling pretty good.
Yep.
You know, last year, the end of the first round, some people were taking Chris Johnson or Darren McFadden, myself included in one league.
DeMarco Murray.
And you were taking them. You weren't feeling great about it, but
you were taking them because you had to.
Yeah.
Because we wanted to wait on our quarterbacks, and the running backs that performed so great last year weren't the ones that were projected to do so much at the start of the year.
Now, I think 9 of these 10 I would feel great about.
Yeah,
the first 9 we're going to talk about here. So why don't we dive right into it? Number 1, numero uno, who else? Adrian Peterson. The dude's a super freak, hands down. I don't care how many knee injuries the guy had. I don't care his quarterback is. I don't care if Percy Harvin's out in Seattle. I'm not worried about Adrian Peterson. He's number 1 on my board. In non-PPR leagues, he's number 1.
2,000 yards, 12 touchdowns. All he did was get over 100 yards and almost rush his way to NFL history. Just an absolutely incredible season. I mean, what else can you say about the guy? He's a machine. He should be your number one pick this year. If you have the number one pick, you hit the fantasy football lottery because you get to draft Adrian Peterson.
All right. Now, moving on to 2, 3, and 4, Bill. Okay. You can probably debate 2, 3, and 4. We're talking about non-PPR leagues, right, Bill?
Right.
Okay.
And it makes a difference, and that's commandment number 1. Know your scoring system. So right now we're discussing non-PPR just for the sake of argument.
Right. The majority of leagues are non-PPR. So Adrian Peterson 1. Who do you have it to?
Doug Martin.
The muscle hamster.
Oh, boy, do we hate that nickname. We have to think of a better nickname for this poor guy.
Yeah, but you know what? Kevin's been waiting 6 months to play this sound clip. So
he loves this sound clip, and maybe that's why I hate the nickname, because I hear that stupid hamster voice.
All right, Doug Martin, rookie last year out of Boise State. He lived up to our billing, Bill. I mean, you and I were preaching to everyone that would listen that he would probably produce at the same level as Trent Richardson last year, another rookie out of Alabama. All the problem was, you know, Trent Richardson was going to go a lot higher in drafts than Doug Martin. We said, pass on Richardson, get Martin. You'll probably get equal production. we turned out to be even smarter because Doug Martin blew it up last year, outperforming Trent Richardson.
And you know what I love about Doug Martin, Todd, heading into 2013 is there's no one to compete for carries.
Nope.
I'm not worried about the second running back on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's Doug Martin's show. Greg Schiano ran Ray Rice into the ground when they were at Rutgers together.
Yep.
He's going to do the same thing with Doug Martin now that they're heading into the second year. We saw just a glimpse of how special Doug Martin can be. He's going to follow up his rookie season with a dynamite sophomore season in the NFL.
I totally agree. All right, number three on the list, he's a familiar name, Houston Texans, Arian Foster.
The thing about Arian Foster is he hasn't practiced. He hasn't been in training camp. He had 391 touches last year, 350 carries, 41 receptions. And you know what? I think his body's starting to break down a little bit. He has a calf injury. He has a back injury. Maybe it's just precautionary. But you know what? Maybe it's not. Maybe it's a little bit of a conditioning thing, and he's starting to break down. I mean, we know that the shelf life for running backs is so low in the NFL. It's when you're getting the rock 400 times and getting blasted by linebackers and linemen, and you know it takes its toll. And Foster's been the guy for the last three or four seasons. You know, right now he's just outside of that top spot, but he's number three because of the consistency that we can expect and the kind of formation or the kind of offensive scheme that the Texans have. But I'll tell you what, last year and the year before that, Arian Foster was the clear-cut number one running back, and now we're debating him as the third, fourth, or maybe even fifth guy.
Here's the deal, especially I know we're not talking PPR, but you're talking receiving yards. You know, he went from having two of the last 3 years, 2010, 604 yards receiving, 2011, 617 yards receiving, and that's in 13 games. And then last year, in a full 16-game season, only 217 yards receiving. So they're not throwing to him quite as much. You mentioned the carries and the wear and tear on the body. Still, the guy's Arian Foster. Like you said, he's on a good team. They're going to be playing from the lead a lot. The formation is run-friendly, so he still finishes in my top four. You can debate it, but, you know. And right now, if your draft is today, you're a little worried about Arian Foster. Absolutely. I don't know that I would take him three overall, quite frankly. I might put another guy in my number three slot.
You disagree with where we're putting Foster, hit us up on Twitter, at FFChamps. I am at Bill Enright. Todd is at CFFGeek. Let us know if you think we're crazy by having Foster at number three. Maybe he should be higher. Maybe he should be lower. Would love to hear what you guys think. But let's move on to number four, Todd. We talked about him a little bit before when we were discussing the next great offenses with the Kansas City Chiefs. That's my guy, Jamaal Charles. Love this kid.
Absolutely. And, again, look back at Andy Reid, what he did with guys of a similar skill set as Charles. Brian Westbrook, LeSean McCoy. These guys racked up yards in the receiving game, yards in the rushing game, scored plenty of touchdowns to keep their fantasy owners happy. Jamaal Charles, man, he's healthy again. He's got a decent, serviceable quarterback now in Alex Smith. They've got some playmakers on the outside to keep the pressure off. I think he could be in for a huge year.
Totally agree. They have one of the best strength of schedules, something that we'll get into in the coming shows right here on Patriots.com radio. Kansas City Chiefs have one of the softest rushing schedules. That means the opponents that they're playing this year in 2013, they can't stop the run, or at least they couldn't in 2012. So Jamaal Charles, our number four guy. How about number five? Coming in is beast mode, Marshawn Lynch, with that powerhouse of the Seattle Seahawks.
No one's more consistent than this guy, Bill. Again, he's on a good team, right, which means something. And every week he gets the 25, 26 carries. Doesn't catch too many balls out of the backfield. Maybe one or two a game. But he scores touchdowns consistently. He's going to get the rock. He's going to get you. I'm looking at last year. Only two times did he rush for less than 85 yards. Two times in a 16-game schedule did he rush for less than 85 yards. That's consistency. It's a guy that you could just plug in there and not worry about. Now, is he going to have the Adrian Peterson or the Jamaal Charles 200 total yard, three touchdown game? Probably not. He's not
right.
That type of guy. But
right.
He's going to get you consistent points week in and week out.
All right. Now, number six is a newcomer for the top 10. And we kind of alluded to him earlier, Todd, when we were discussing the importance of handcuffing your stud. So if you drafted Fred Jackson last year and you handcuffed him, you got the insurance policy with CJ Spiller, you were in for quite a surprise because Spiller had a magical season coming off the bench for the Buffalo Bills. Over 1,200 yards, had a couple touchdowns. He was just incredible last year. Love what this kid can do. Think he's going to be a workhorse for the Buffalo Bills here in 2013. C.J. Spiller comes in at number six.
Spiller, you know, again, a younger guy who's kind of coming into his own. The one concern with him is the quarterback situation. Are they going to start a rookie, a quarterback this year? And if so, you know, Bill, you and I were at the draft last April. This was not the 2012 draft of quarterbacks. There was no RG3 or Andrew Luck, Tannehill, Russell Wilson. E.J. Manuel was the top quarterback selected. I am not high on E.J. Manuel from a fantasy perspective or from a football perspective. Teams could be stacking up against the run against Spiller. This guy's talented enough to still get the job done, but that's a slight concern for me.
Todd, to me, I think C.J. Spiller is ready to take that next step. He wasn't even in the top 20 last year. Now this year we have him in the top 12. He averaged 6.6 yards per carry last season, something that only Jim Brown and Jamal Charles have done previously in the NFL. 1,200 yards. He's going to be involved in the passing game, 43 receptions last year. And you know what? Yeah, E.J. Manuel or Kevin Cobb might be the quarterback, but last year he had Ryan friggin' Fitzpatrick. It's not like he was playing with a Pro Bowl or a quarterback last year. He still got it done. I expect even more touchdowns from Spiller this year. I'm excited about him. He's one of my dynasty picks. Highly touted prospect coming out of Clemson a couple years ago, so I invested my first round draft pick in him. Finally panning out. I'm excited about Spiller this season.
Not disagreeing. I'm just saying, of the guys we've talked about thus far, most concerned with him. No. E.J. Manuel, did you watch him at Florida State?
Only a little bit.
Wildly inconsistent. Big time. All right. A little bit of concern. All right, who's the next guy on our list, Bill?
Trent Richardson from the Cleveland Browns.
Right. Trent Richardson, the guy everyone thought was going to dominate the NFL last year, had a pretty good season. 950 yards rushing. How many touchdowns did he score, Bill?
12 touchdowns, 12. 11 on the ground. Very involved in the passing game, Todd. 51 receptions.
Yeah, and that's on a team without much of an offense.
And now listen, here's the thing that I like about Richardson this year is Norv Turner becomes the offensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns. He's already said that he wants 300 carries, maybe 50 or 60 receptions for Trent Richardson this year. I think he's going to be one of those guys that we're saying next year, yeah, you know what? He was worth that first-round pick. Richardson's got it going on. I'm expecting big things from him in 2013.
I agree, and actually, I would have him above Spiller.
All right, so you're flip flopping Spiller and Trent Richardson. Okay,
I'm flip flopping.
I respect that.
I like Trent this year a lot. I think he's going to, not that he disappointed last year. I think that he was kind of left in the shadow by Doug Martin, fellow rookie Doug Martin, who just blew it up completely. But I think Trent's going to have a better year this year. I agree with you. Norv Turner is definitely going to help him out. Norv Turner's coached some pretty good running backs in his time. So I think Trent Richardson's going to be the premier workhorse in that division.
The Cleveland Browns might have a top five offensive line in the league. So I'm with you with putting him above Spiller. You know, we'll see what happens in the rest of training camp. I haven't really seen much of E.J. Manuel or Kevin Cobb under Doug Marrone. So, yeah, Spiller might take a backseat to Trent Richardson by the time we get to fantasy football draft season in a couple
Kevin
weeks.
Kevin Cobb's tripping on
rubber mats or whatever the hell it was. Yeah.
He's Mr. Glass. The guy can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
All right, who's next on the list, Bill?
All right, we got LeSean McCoy for the Philadelphia Eagles coming in at number eight, Todd.
LeSean McCoy, a little bit of an X factor this year, Bill. McCoy had a down season last year along with his Eagles, and he got a little bit injured, had concussion issues, missed part of the season. He still caught 54 balls, even in that, you know, rough season. But the question is, erase all of that. You got Chip Kelly coming into the mix. Oregon, Chip Kelly, they love to run the football. They love to get their playmakers in space. The guy's a genius at doing that. Will it translate into the NFL? We'll see. This guy, Bill, LeSean McCoy, has a ridiculous upside this year. However, he also has a lot of downside. You know, is Chip Kelly going to do a little bit more of a running back by committee than we would like as fantasy owners? Is his high-paced offense going to work at all? Is he going to have a quarterback that can run the offense? Who knows? A lot of question marks with LeSean McCoy. I think this is a safe place to draft him, the eighth or ninth running back, and kind of roll the dice. I think that his floor isn't that low, but his ceiling is super high.
I mean, this is a guy that had 20 touchdowns 2 years ago. Last year he was dealing with the concussions and a poor offensive line play, but he's one of the most explosive and talented running backs in the NFL. Even without Andy Reid there this year, Chip Kelly is one of those innovators, as you discussed with his team and with his college team when he was at Oregon. He's going to be involved in the passing game. He's really one of their only playmakers on offense now that Jeremy Maclin's injured. They don't really have a consistent tight end. I know they drafted Zach Ertz. But other than maybe DeSean Jackson, who else are they really going to target in the passing game? LeSean McCoy is heavily involved in that offense.
And don't discount an offensive lineman's return by the name of Jason Peters. The O-line gets no respect across the whole league. And in fantasy, we rarely talk about it, right? We should talk about it a lot more than we do. Jason Peters missed all of last season. The year before that, Bill, when Peters was on the O-line, McCoy had that 20-touchdown season. They tracked his long runs for the season. 80% of them he ran behind Jason Peters. Peters is healthy. He's back at camp. And that's going to be a huge, huge difference to the Philadelphia Eagles rushing game.
Before we move on to our number 9 running back, I want you to say, who plays number 10 for the Philadelphia Eagles, Todd?
Who plays number 10?
Yeah, who's number 10 on the Eagles?
DeSean Jackson.
Say his first name again.
DeSean.
DeSean.
Kevin, now you say it.
DeSean.
DeSean.
You were saying, you just said DeSean.
DeSean. Hey, listen, I'm sure he goes by both. DeSean. DeSean. DeSean.
It was very gangsta of you, Bill.
All right.
I liked it.
Listen, if you saw Jackson's rap video this year, you'd think he's a gangster, too.
Yeah, just like Eli Manning and Peyton Manning's rap video today. Did you see that?
Football on your phone.
Am I going to have to deal with the Manning brothers doing commercials for the rest of my life?
Yes.
Until Archie Manning kicks the bucket, is that what I got to deal with? Because Archie needs to squeeze more money out of his sons than... I mean, where's Cooper Manning in all these videos?
Hey, Archie didn't get paid a whole lot back in those days.
That's true.
He's got to make up, you know, his retirement fund's probably hurting. He's probably thinking, man, I got to either kick the bucket because I don't have enough money to survive or make these stupid ads to keep living.
Kevin, are you tired of the Mannings on every commercial?
Yes.
Thank you.
But I will give you this.
I think they're hilarious.
When Peyton.
They were hilarious.
See, I can't talk
ago.
Either, Bill. When Peyton does his solo commercials, like when he was doing the Cut That Meat stuff, I thought those were hilarious. Or the one where he's like playing football.
Cut That Meat, right.
Or where he's playing football with like the little kids and he picks this kid out to throw the ball to and hits him in the head. Like those are hilarious. I think he's a funny guy, but the ones with all three of them, I could care less for.
I think this video's great. Very funny. Football on your phone. Football's not for calling. Your phone ain't for calling. Your phone's for footballing. That's one of the lines in the video.
Let's go, insurance and justice. Let's go.
Yeah. All right, let's finish out our top 10. We got two more guys. Number 9, LeSean McCoy is number 8. Number 9 is Ray Rice from the Baltimore Ravens. Todd, this is a guy that was a top 3 pick last year, but we're slipping him down on our cheat sheet for a few reasons. One, Bernard Pierce got a lot more carries than we expected from a rookie running back. I think the Ravens continue to give him the rock. Not going to be a full running back by committee. I still think it's Ray Rice's show there. But Bernard Pierce is certainly going to be involved, especially now they may have to run the ball a little bit more because they lost Dennis Pitta. There's no more Anquan Boldin. They're defending a Super Bowl title, always very tough to do. Ray Rice comes in at number 9. I don't think you're disappointed by getting Rice at 9. You're probably very happy. But that being said, there's 8 more guys that we feel are going to be better than him this year.
Well, yeah, and I think Ray Rice's upside is lower than these other guys, right?
Right.
I mean, his best years are behind him. He can still produce at a high level. But like you mentioned, he played all 16 games the last 3 years, and he had 50 less carries last year than the years before. And the guy that's eaten up those carries is Bernard Pierce, who had 108 carries last year. Big concern. The Ravens, you know, they won their title last year. They're clearly kind of blowing things up and trying to rebuild. And, you know, I think Ray Rice is kind of on the decline. Will he still produce as a top 10 running back? Absolutely. I believe he will. But I just don't think he has one of those 1,600-yard, 20-touchdown seasons in him anymore.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. And that's why we have him where we have him.
But like you said, if I'm at number 9, Ray Rice is sitting there and these other guys are gone, I'm taking him. Absolutely. I'd be happy with that.
All right. Now, I think we debate number 10. I think you may disagree with who I have.
I like I said at the top of the show, there's the fine 9.
The fine 9.
Whatever you want to call them. The top 9 guys, I like them. And then now there's a debate between 10 and 12 and 13, something like that. You can debate the next couple guys.
All right,
who you got?
If you go to ffchamps.com right now, you'll see Steven Ridley at number 10 and Alfred Morris at number 11. Ridley's projected for 234 points. Alfred Morris is projected for 229. The reason why I have Ridley at 10 and Morris at 11 is twofold. One, I think the Patriots might run the ball a little bit more than we're used to seeing. And I loved what I saw out of Ridley last year with the consistency. He got you 80 to 100 yards every week. He had the double-digit touchdowns. Alfred Morris, on the other hand, is a guy that plays for Mike Shanahan. I mentioned earlier that I hold grudges.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Shanahan has burned me in the past when it comes to running backs. Morris was his guy last year. He was second in the league in rushing, which was incredible for a sixth-round rookie running back. But I don't know if that's going to be the same case this year. I don't know if it's going to be Alfred Morris' show and no one else. The Redskins drafted two more running backs this year. Roy Helu is now healthy. We don't know if RG3 is going to be a full go. I think a lot of that has to do with how well Morris played last year. That read option and the threat of Griffin to take off and run certainly helped Morris out a little bit. So that's why I give the edge to Ridley.
Interesting. And I see where you're going. But it's, I mean, that's hard to do, man. I mean, Kevin, you want to chime in just for a second here? Your thoughts on Steven Ridley? 1,263 yards last year rushing, 12 touchdowns. Alfred Morris had almost 400 yards more rushing and an extra touchdown.
I'll take the over in terms of rushing yards for Ridley. I think he'll have more than Morris, and I think he'll have more than he had last year. I think they're going to run the ball a lot more. Gotcha. In terms of touchdowns, it's tough. It depends. I mean, I could see them if they keep a guy like LeGarrette Blount, that could hurt Ridley, especially with his.
Come on.
No, I'm serious. He fumbles on the goal line. I mean, he did in the playoffs last year, and we've seen it time and time again. One of the first practices we had this year, he fumbled at least three times in the goal line drills. I think it was the first padded practice.
You think LeGarrette Blount is the a shorthand running back?
I'm not saying that he's the answer, but if they keep one of these bigger backs like Brandon Bolden, LeGarrette Blount, a guy like that, I could see them getting more of the goal line work than Ridley.
Right.
We've seen it before with backs around here. Kevin Faulk had a huge fumbling problem when he first came into the league. And once you fumble a time or two with Coach Belichick, you see a whole lot of opportunities down there inside the 5-yard line.
Right.
So I do agree with you guys. You know, the opportunities there for Ridley to have better stats than last year based on everything we've been talking about with the Patriots and the changes to their whole offensive system potentially this year with all the injuries and the free agent casualties and everything. Alfred Morris and the shenanigans, Bill. You're referring to the shenanigans, right?
That's correct.
The Shanahanigans.
The Shanahanigans. Right.
The Shanahanigans. Those of us that have been playing fantasy football for years and years and years, just when you got comfortable with one of those Bronco running backs, right, what would happen? Mike Shanahan would pull the carpet out from under him and plug another guy in there, and he would produce at a high level. So it got kind of old after a while trying to figure out who Shanahan was going to start at running back. Alfred Morris, like you said, Bill, doesn't have the pedigree that some other guys might have. He's from Florida Atlantic, kind of a mid-range producer in college. You know, he's no guarantee to be their workhorse back for the next 5 years. I hear you on that. But it's a tough one. It's a tough call. I think that most drafters, Bill, are going to take Morris over Ridley.
Yep.
That's just my gut feeling. I'm sure his ADP is higher than Ridley right now, but it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I mean, Morris, let's summarize it like this. Morris probably hit his peak last year at 1,600 yards. It's going to be hard for him to match that, right?
Right. Yeah.
Whereas Ridley has room to grow.
Yeah, I don't think you've seen the best of Ridley yet.
I agree with that.
So you might not be that crazy there, Bill. And if I'm on the clock right now, that's a tough call for me. But you're going Ridley.
All right, so that was our top 10 running backs. Again, you got to go to ffchamps.com. We help you guys all season long. Special 50% discount for Patriots.com listeners. If you're serious about winning fantasy football, you know what? $29 is really not that big of a price tag for the service that you're going to get. We went over our top 10 running backs today. We went over the 10 commandments. We talked about the Patriots fantasy football playmakers and, Tom Brady's still going to be okay at the end of the day. We have so much more planned for the rest of the preseason. It's going to be plenty of nonstop fantasy football draft action right here on the Fantasy Football Champ Show. Todd, anything to say in closing?
Bill, I want you to go and Google Ben Franklin and come up with some more quotes for the next show.
If you fail to prepare, you are preparing to fail. Don't forget, Hard Knocks is on tonight on HBO. If you love football, you'll certainly want to check that out. For more fantasy football draft knowledge and preparation, head over to ffchamps.com. Hit us up on Twitter, at ffchamps, if you're listening to this show on demand via the podcast. For Kevin Collins, Todd DeVries, I'm Bill Enright. Thank you so much for listening to the Fantasy Football Champs. We'll be back next week with more fantasy news and analysis.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright want to help you dominate your fantasy football league. Call in at 508-298-0398.